Hello, travel biz owner. Welcome to my corner of the travel industry, the Strategic Travel Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're ready to have fun, be inspired, get clarity, and take action in your travel business, then you're in the right place. Let's jump in.
Happy Friday, wonderful travel people. Rita here. I am so excited to be coming here to you today on something that I have been thinking a lot about in the sense of like, how can you be taken seriously as a travel advisor? And it's funny that I think about this now too, because I think through my personal friends and family, they're finally starting to take me serious, like as a travel business owner. I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily putting all my eggs in a basket in travel advising, but many of you know that I kind of like monetize my business in a couple different ways. And part of that is through doing education and mentorship within the industry, as well as consulting. So before we get into like kind of what's been on my thoughts on how you can be taken in like three ways and kind of like some subtopics on how you can be taken seriously as a travel agent, one, I have to first give everybody a thank you for tuning in. If you've been tuning in to Host Week, thank you so, so much for tuning in to Host Week today, Friday. If you're listening on Friday, February 2nd is the last day of Host Week 2024. And it has been both an amazing blast and I cannot wait to rest up after, because I have been helping the Host Week team put this amazing virtual event all together. Two, I am also partnering with the amazing team at Travify. So this coming Wednesday, let me get the date for you, Wednesday, February 7th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, I am co-hosting a webinar with Stephanie Grease from this Travify team on mastering your sales funnel strategies for generating leads and closing deals. So I'll pop in the link below if you're interested in signing up for that webinar. But without further ado, let's get into my thoughts on how you can be taken seriously as a travel advisor. And I one of the reasons that I was thinking about this is I think, one, I'm coming off of PodFest. I was recently at a podcasting conference, and it just made me start to think, you know, I see a lot of like marketing efforts from travel advisors, and I'm like, why do we talk about things in a certain way that just feels so cringy? I don't feel like other professions talk about themselves or are, shall I say, as desperate for the sale as other things like doctors, lawyers, accountants. I know in the beginning, we all are like trying to do the hustle and bustle and make sure that we can make income and get everything taken care of, covered. But sometimes the tactics that are used are so like, ooh, that's like how sales happened in the 80s and 90s, and we don't do sales like that anymore. But because it kind of like filters through each and every generation, new travel advisors are still utilizing things like, I love travel, so you should buy your travel with me. And using every call to action that has people being like, buy travel through me. And it's just that, like, we could go a little bit more in depth and all that. But when I start to think about like my cousin who's a doctor, but she works for a hospital, or my nurse cousin also works at a hospital. But when I think about like, I just had a cousin open up a chiropractic office, and really all that she's doing, all that I have seen through the social medias, is that she's telling people, I opened up this chiropractic office. She had this grand opening recently, and this is over in Puerto Rico. And then on social media, I kind of see like daily of, we have these openings. If you're interested, let us know. So, and I found that so super interesting, because I think one of the things that I'm going to touch on a little bit is that as travel agents, travel advisors, we are so attached to the outcome of what happens. And I remember, this is where we're going to get into dating world over here. I remember when I was first starting to like dip my toes into dating in the past year or two. Well, yeah, I guess two-ish years now. I remember they said something called dating NATO, and NATO means not attached to the outcome, that you shouldn't have to worry about what's going to happen in the relationship. What you need to worry about is yourself and how you feel. So when I think about being a travel advisor and thinking about being a business owner and thinking about this NATO, not attached to the outcome, I think that's what a lot of professionals have. Like they have this, I don't know, entrepreneurial NATO is what I'll call it, where they know their skills, they know their power, they know their abilities, they know what education they have gone through, they know what experiences that they've had, because, you know, a lot of these, like, especially if we're thinking about doctors, chiropractors, they've not only had like book practice, but they've had real world practice. So whereas you as a travel advisor may have had a lot of real world practice and not a lot of book practice, there is a lot of book practice in what I would say are the different certifications. There's also different courses like Host Agency Review 70 Setup Accelerator, All Access Pass. I know ASTA also has a course. So thinking about that, like, why is it that we as travel advisors are not confident in our own skills, our own abilities? I feel like sometimes that kind of falls in the whole, there's a lot of people within this industry that don't need the income per se. And I'm not trying to say this as a good thing, as a bad thing or anything. This is just an observation, myself included, in my earlier days, because I had a full-time job, I had a full-time income, so I didn't take my business seriously. I think a lot of people are pretty similar, because you either have that full-time income to help support you, so you don't take your business serious and you don't do the other things to take your business seriously. But you also, there's many people who are reliant on somebody else's income, a partner's income, and therefore the livelihood really isn't at stakes. Like the stakes are a little bit less for a lot of people that I'm seeing within the travel industry. So, but for those of us like myself, who like we are the breadwinners in our situation, we have to take ourselves seriously, and we have to see what are the amazing abilities that we have to help somebody else. And I think because we have higher stakes, higher skin in the game, we take ourselves just naturally seriously, because we have so much more to lose than somebody that might not. Similarly, like when I'm thinking about people like doctors, lawyers, accountants, they probably have gone through years of different sorts of training, different expensive training. And now when they go into the field, it is time to pay all of that training off. So, and when they've also made different investments, because some doctors can have their own practices, others works for hospitals or medical groups. Like there's so many different things. So I also want you to come out of this with the thought of, we are business owners, because if you just wanted to be a travel agent, you could have been like an employee for a travel company. You could have, there's like so many different careers that are within this travel business. You chose to be a travel business owner for a reason. You chose to sell travel for a reason. And so you really have to think about what those reasons are. And it's more, I've said this many times, it's more than you loving to sell travel, but you really like have to dig in deep and like bring that confidence into you. Because what I would say is the first way to be taken seriously as a travel agent, as a travel advisor, is to take yourself seriously and to take your business seriously. And that is easier said than done. I'm totally aware of this, but what can you do? Like, sometimes it's that fake it till you make it. You may not know all the answers. You may have flubbed up here and there. We've all gone through it. Nobody has life all totally figured out. Like, we're all just, there was like no manual to life. We're all just kind of here testing things out, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't work. So like I've mentioned again in many other episodes, you have to be comfortable with that being uncomfortable. Other people are not going to take you or your business seriously if you don't first do that for yourself. And if you don't have that confidence within you now, highly recommend fake it till you make it. Fake it till you make it. And if you say something incorrectly or you say something wrong, apologize, correct it, get the right information, do whatever you need to do to kind of like get yourself back on track. It's also interesting, like when we're talking about taking yourself and your business seriously, that, you know, the topic of boundaries is a big one for me when we're thinking about here. Because I remember when I first started my travel agency business way back in 2010 and those early years, and where you just told people you were in the business and people sent you Facebook messages, text messages, emails, expecting you to answer 24/7 all the time. Is your doctor answering you 24/7? Is your accountant answering you 24/7? Other professionals aren't on the line 24/7 for you. So why are you expecting to work 24/7 for your clients, for your travel clients? Now, I know this kind of will be a little bit skewed for all of you who are working the 9-to-5s and trying to do that grind as you're building your business. But that doesn't mean that you also can't have boundaries. Like, do you only take calls on certain days? Do you only take calls at certain times? Do you only take calls when somebody has set an appointment with you? These are the types of boundaries that you need to be setting, one, to get people to also take you seriously, but also so that you don't burn yourself out, because that's even more important than being taken seriously as a business owner. Is that we remember that you are also a human being with human needs, and making sure that the stability in your physical and mental health is also a prominent priority is super important, and boundaries help do that. I am the first one to admit that I make commitments to other people more than I keep them for myself. And that's something that I'm actively working on. And it's just interesting, especially like when I think about health and wanting to get back on track on health, how it's so easy for us to do things to help somebody else. But then when it comes to us, we're like, but it's just me. No, it's not just you. I mean, yes, it is just you, but I don't want you. And I think that has to, like, that's part of the confidence part, is that it is just you. If you don't put in the work, especially in the beginning years or the mid years or pretty much anytime you're a business owner, but you need to put the work in sooner than later, because the sooner that you put in the work, the easier that it becomes to be like, actually, I don't do that, or actually, I don't work here. Like, I remember recently I've gotten an inquiry, and it was through like a family member. And they were like, so are you going to answer them? And I'm like, it's Saturday. Like, I'm not going to pick up the phone on a Saturday to call somebody. And so you have to have that entrepreneurial NATO. I'm going to kind of like coin that term there, that you are not attached to the outcome. And that also, if that person still has that problem, they will still come to you on Monday. So if that's what your office hours are, is to be closed on the weekends, they are going to, you know, because that's the, like, if I'm thinking about my own doctor and my own dentist, if I have like a sore tooth or sore gums, And they say, okay, but we're closed on the weekend. I'm going to be like, well, that really stinks. I'll call you on Monday. Like, I'm not mad that they're not, well, I might be a little annoyed that they might not be open on the weekends, but I also know that and understand that other people have other lives and they need to live their other lives and it can't just be all about me. That's why also there's like these backup plans, like emergency rooms or people that you just have backup for. So setting those boundaries up also helps with setting the precedent and setting the expectations. I'll say this, I'm super proud of myself recently. I had a friend that reached out to me and was like, so I'm thinking about coming to Central Florida and I just wanted to get some ideas on like hotels and the theme park areas. And old Rita would have been like, oh, this, and this, and would have like hoped and prayed and wished and maybe like had mentioned like, and I can book this for you. 2024 Rita was like, oh, I would so love to assist you with this. So I work with travel clients in a few different ways right now. The first way is that I have a $250 trip management fee. With that trip management fee, I will go ahead and do all the research towards your needs, make sure that I'm tailoring a custom package to what exactly that you are looking for, and we get all of that stuff booked. The other way that I work with travel clients is that I do a 1 hour pick my brain session. That one starts at $150 and you get an hour of my time and we can gab on all things that you are looking for and pick my brain and get any sort of advice that I have. Let me know which one of these options interests you so that we can discuss more. And that immediately cut off the conversation, going on from being just a, like, let me know some information to, I'm a professional, this is how I make my income, these are the ways that you can work with me. I felt so good, because one, I have important things that need to get done. I'm helping to run Host Week. I am helping a couple other travel clients with trips that are happening this spring. I cannot, frankly, waste my time on answering someone else's questions when that clearly they see that I have value already in my brain because of my experiences and me being here in Central Florida. That is value. I want you to know that you have value. If someone is picking your brain, it's because they know that you have value. So do not devalue yourself by giving that information away from free unless you're monetizing it in some way. But I want you to like build up that confidence after years. And I wasn't even sure exactly what I was going to say, but what I knew is that I could not work for free. And I also knew that I could not just be giving away expertise to somebody who I consider like a really good friend. I could not be giving that away for free anymore. Like, I've done it for so many years and it's kind of bit me in the booty, like it has bit many of us in the booty, that I needed to start taking myself seriously. And that's how I did it. And you know the response that I got, even though she didn't want to work with me right now, the one thing from her response that like meant the world to me was, I'm so proud of where your career has taken you or where your career has gotten you, something like that. And so me setting the boundary of, this is how I work with you, immediately made her take me more seriously, make my travel business more seriously, because she saw that this was now a career and not just a little hobby, a little side hustle. So, and that's where I kind of feel like is where you need to take yourself seriously. This is not just a little hobby, little business here and there. This is a big business. This is a big thing. You were bold enough to like sign on the dotted line with a host agency, with a franchise, with a consortium. You were bold enough to go ahead and get things recorded with the government, your EIN number, your LLC. Like, you also have to be bold enough with the people that are around you to be like, no, this is a business. Like, this is not just fun and games here. Like, I am here to make income, generate revenue, and support the clients that I work with. So, I deserve to be taken seriously. All right, so I'm looking at my notes. So confidence, being unattached to the outcome, and like really feeling in and knowing what your brilliance is. I would say the number two way to be taken seriously is to have those processes in place. So remember, I told you I was talking to this friend about a local vacation here in Orlando. So I said, you can work with me in this way, and this is the form for that. Or you can work with me in this way, and this is the form for that. So having also systems and processes in place that make it easier for both you and your client. So I didn't have to schedule anything. I didn't have to have any additional conversation. And this is super helpful for them. It avoids kind of like the back and forth of like trying to coordinate things. I was so grateful for my CRM and my Calendly to have like these processes in place where I technically have like landing pages for my travel business that help make me look more professional and kind of back that up also. Because I feel like if I had said, let's chat an email or something like that, maybe I wouldn't have been taken as seriously as I recently did with this friend. The other things that like really help you out, because it's a systemized process, are these SOPs, the standard operating procedures. It is the tech. It is possibly a team. You may have one of these things. You may have a combo of these things. You don't need all the things, but all the things can help you depending on where you're at in your business growth. Having these structures in place in your business. I mean, again, like if I think about those professionals, the doctors, lawyers, accountants, everybody like puts things in calendars. They have to schedule appointments with you. They need to be able to invoice you somehow. They need to be able to keep records of past things that have happened with you somehow. And how do they do that? It's with these SOPs. It's with these processes, standard operating procedures. They need to hold some consistency within their branches. And that's really what the SOPs are, is to make sure like, okay, every patient or every new accounting client, this is how we onboard them. Or this is how people with upset stomach, this is how we treat them. Or anything like that. This is all any type of business. So what are those things? What are those processes that you can start documenting so that you have kind of like this well-oiled machine happening in the back end? And like, I feel like that also helps with your own confidence, like being able to know, like, this is your process. You can always update the process. You're the business owner of your own business, but having that there kind of backs you up also so that you save a little bit of brain space. You're like, oh my gosh, I don't remember how to do this trip to Argentina. Kind of record those different things and like, what are some of your favorite things from every kind of trip, either personal or a business trip that you're able to take, so that you're able to create these processes and keep them through and through your business. So it kind of, I feel like having those things are kind of like when you're thinking about, I'm looking at my house right now, that those are the bones, those are the wood panels, those are like the big pieces of wood that hold the house together. And then number three, the third way that I feel like you can start being taken seriously as a travel advisor, travel agent, travel professional, whichever term that you prefer, is really to get out there and grow your network. And I think I noticed this a lot with when I was at PodFest. You know, businesses, like business happens through conversations and really by being a human being. Business happens by being curious about someone else, but also by being a connector. And you cannot be curious about people if you don't have people to be curious about. And you can't be a connector to people or for people if you don't have other people that you can connect them to. And I think this weekend, when I was at PodFest, I was like, whoa. So here's something that happened to me at PodFest. And this is why I feel number three is important, the getting out there and growing your network. So somebody that I worked with on a business retreat this past year introduced me to somebody who I've been following for quite some time now on social media, and I just admire them very greatly. I actually might have them on an audio series in the future. But we just got started on the conversation, what my podcast is about, how I help travel business owners, because she also has a podcast in the travel and finance space. And so we were just talking about like potential collaborations, but that conversation would have never happened if my friend Heather hadn't connected us and if my friend Heather hadn't gotten out of her comfort zone to meet people. Now, Heather, I feel like, really is an extrovert, so it's not that hard, but for us introverts, it's a little bit more difficult. The other part that's important for me as the introvert, I also know. So back in 2019, one of the big things that I was going to do for 2020, and yes, giggles, because we all know what happened in 2020, was that I was going to get out more and meet more business people and meet more people in my community so that I could grow my network, because that was the biggest weakness that I had as a business owner, is that I cut myself off from meeting people because I was scared, because I was nervous, because I had misconceptions of what that actually meant. And so I have grown leaps and bounds since obviously 2020, when I had that mindset and when I started to slowly break out of that mindset. But I think part of me meeting people is that leaning in on that being uncomfortable, because I would have never had this opportunity to meet this amazing person who got intrigued when I told her that I plan retreats on cruise ships and how much more cost effective they are by them planning retreats on land. And her ears perked up so quick, and she was like, do you work with business owners? Because I really want to listen in more on this idea and like how you can help me, because I have a really big community that I would love to be able to plan a retreat with. Ba-bam. It was as simple as that, because I put myself out there, had this connection with Heather, gave her really great service. We're friends outside of business. And because I was comfortable putting myself out there, Heather knew exactly what I did. So me like preaching the message of what I did in the travel advisor space helped build this amazing connection that may have like grown organically if I had like taken a little bit of a chance, but it was sped up because I put myself out there and I grew my network, and I purposely grew my network. So like huge, like geeking win, never would have thought that would happen. And also gave me like another viewpoint of how to position and market some of my travel agency services. So be willing to connect with other people. And I think that this is both good for our industry. So it was really nice to be in kind of like that PodFest atmosphere. So I would say that the people at PodFest are both a combination of like my ideal clients and also then really great referral partners. But then also, your ideal client may not be business owners, so you have to find out like where your ideal client hangs and what are kind of like the conferences or the events that they're going to go to so you can go to them. But then also, that connection is super important for people within our industry. So when you are going to things like Ask the Travel Advisor Conference or Cruise 360 or Cruise World, that you're able to make connections with people in the travel industry that you really vibe with. Because I think one of the other things that will really help you to be taken seriously within the travel industry is to specialize in something. And I'm not, it can be whatever. It can be like on this type of people or this type of destination, but specializing in something like that is like when I'm talking about doctors and lawyers and accountants. I remember when I got into a car accident and my car accident lawyer dealt with things like that, accidents, whether it's like a car accident or like workers' comp or anything like that. But when I told her there was stuff happening in my house that I might need to get a lawyer for, she's like, then you need to work with a real estate attorney for that. And here's some recommendations that I have for you. It happens all the time in these other professional arenas, but for whatever reason in the travel industry, we just want to clench onto all of our clients and all that, when there are plenty of clients for all of us. I think like that I would say networking, and then also focusing on what I did best and referring out work to others, is probably the two biggest and best things that I've done in my business since 2020. Because if someone says like, I want to go to Italy on a custom trip, I'm like, okay, great. You can talk to this friend because I don't specialize in that. And I am so comfortable with that happening because one, I want another travel advisor to win, because if we're all winning, like the industry wins as a whole. And then two, I know that it will come back to me in some form of fashion. It's kind of like that, put good out in the world and good will come back to you as well. So specializing and having that connection with other people and like really seeking people who have complementary specialties out within our own industry is really how you can be taken serious as a travel advisor. So number one was, you first need to take yourself seriously and your business seriously. And I say like really, boundaries are the foundation of that, taking yourself. Boundaries and confidence are really what you're needing for that, number one. Number two, having processes in place is also another part of what can help you be taken seriously as a travel advisor. And number three, get out there and grow your network. All of the professionals do this, so you should also be inclining yourself to do so as well. And if you ever need help in trying to figure out any of these out, we can jump on a one-on-one power hour session where you can pick my brain to figure out what are the leaks happening within your business and marketing strategy right now as well. And I'll link that up also. So let me know, do you think there's anything else that you do or have done or have seen somebody else do that helps them to be taken seriously as a travel agent as well? I cannot wait to tune in and listen to your feedback, and I will see you here right next week. You have a fabulous week, everyone.
Thanks for joining me on the podcast today. Remember to check out the show notes for all relevant links and resources from today's show. See you next time.